You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Kramer, and you're listening to The Sweep. Everybody needs a
place to call their home. Oh, I have sizzle. Everybody needs someone to call their own. Even when you're lonely, no, you're not alone. You're one of us, one of us, one of us, one of us.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
What is going on, Pack Nation? Welcome back to another episode of The Sweep. I am your sad, sad, sad host, Fred Thurston, and with me as always, my co-host, Mr. Blaine Hornes. How's it going, my man?
I've had better weeks. We'll get into it on exactly why. It doesn't help. I got some allergy cold stuff going on, so if I sound a little stuffy, that kind of explains that. But it might also be because I've been crying myself to sleep the last couple of days, and it's morning time, so
lots of tears, of tears being shed in the state of Wisconsin and all around the United States. Like he said, we'll definitely get into that. Please believe we will. But before we get into it, let's give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Pride and Glory Clothing Company. Make sure you guys go and check them out. Christmas is around the corner. As sad as that sounds. You can check them out at www.prideandglory63.com. Lots of great winter hats, snapbacks, t-shirts. I know that they are working on some sweatshirt ideas, so make sure that you guys are just following them. You can check them out on Facebook or, like I said, the website, or even Twitter, too, at LG63 Collection. We have our two other sponsors, Go Pack Go, I Bleed Green and Gold Facebook group, and the Ground Round in Neenah, Wisconsin, the hottest place to watch the games. We will hear from both of them a little later in the show. You guys can follow us, The Sweep, of course, on Twitter at @TheSweep_PTTF, or on Facebook, go up to that little search button, type in The Sweep, and if we are not number one, let us know so we can tell the people who are number one that they need to cease and desist, because we are The Sweep. Listen, folks, this is going to be the most somber of episodes you're going to hear in a long time, hopefully. So just stick with us, cry with us, pray with us, sing Kumbaya with us, whatever we need to do to get through this, let's do it. I know that Blaine mentioned he's got a little bit of allergy issues. I think we're all just not really in the mood to do this. I love this show, but this is the one that I don't want to talk about. But let's just get into what we need to get into right off the bat. And that is the injury report. As usual, for the Packers, we have a beautifully long laundry list of guys that got injured. Obviously, there's the number one, which we'll talk about in a second. But besides that, Blaga out with a concussion, Bakhtiari out with a hamstring, Lane Taylor, knee and ankle injuries. I mean, I just, the whole offensive line, pretty much, you can just chalk it up as the whole offensive line is pretty much out with injuries. Just been the theme of the year and the theme of the last few years, it seems like. Ted went into this year very, very, very thin on depth. I knew it was eventually going to be an issue. There's just, it's rare for an offensive line to make it through a whole season together. And especially with you know, a guy like Bulaga, who is always injured, it's hard. I think Bulaga, when healthy, is arguably one of the best right tackles out there. But he's always hurt. I mean, I don't know. What do you make of the dissipated offensive line?
It's, you know, it's the two big areas that, you know, we kind of covered early on in the season, the offensive line and the defensive backfield. Again, we thought going in that defensive backfield was going to be pretty deep. We were worried about the offensive line, so that doesn't really surprise me a whole lot. I guess just the fact that we have our best three offensive linemen that are all out and have, I mean, we don't have a tackle left. Our best backup left tackle was our left guard, and now he's hurt. You're losing, like you said, Blaga, arguably probably a top five right tackle. You got Bakhtiari, who's maybe one, two, or three at left tackle in the league. And then left guard, probably one, two, or three there. You're losing some of the best pass-blocking offensive linemen in the league. And in order to try to keep your quarterback healthy and upright, and, I mean, he's the franchise right now. I know Ted does good with offensive linemen. He pulls these guys out of nowhere and makes something out of nothing, but – oh, man, one of the strengths that we talked about with Ted is now becoming, you know, one of his biggest Achilles heels. And it seems like every year there's a position. Last year it was running back. This year it's offensive line. And could possibly turn into defensive back again because we have our best three defensive backs out. You got Devon House with a quadriceps injury. You got King still in the concussion protocol. You got newly added and now on injured reserve, Quentin Rollins. So, I mean, you're getting pretty thin in the defensive backfield now too. So you just have to question whether or not Ted's losing it or if it's just bad luck. And I know we've covered it on one episode already, and I kind of dispelled it because you can't blame injuries on someone necessarily, but there's a lot of stuff going on. And it begs the question, what is their training routine like? I mean, I know concussions are what they are and broken bones are what they are, but a lot of the hamstring stuff, quadriceps stuff, back issues. I mean, Ahmad Brooks has a back. Some of these things you just wonder what are they doing wrong? And I know it's not just the Packers. It just seems like it's year after year after year. I mean, I can't believe that Clay Matthews hasn't gone down with a hamstring or a quad issue yet.
Here's my rebuttal to that. And I can't argue with really a lot of it, but I'm going to play a little hero rescue for Ted Thompson here on this one. We struggle and we complain about the fact that secondary was weak and offensive line was not a lot of depth. And it's true. We don't have a lot of depth on the offensive line, and the secondary is another glaring issue. And that comes down to the fact that I think Ted went up for a Hail Mary with Rollins and Randall, and it's bit him in the ass real bad. But here's the thing that I want to introduce to you and to the fans, and that is we can't just go out and sign 10 offensive linemen and really good ones. I mean, Ted has to be able to equally distribute, if you will, kind of the money. All right. We only are allotted so much money. And when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, who is due up for a contract extension, sometimes you have to dip in other areas to pay off those types of things. You know, Aaron Rodgers, obviously one thing. You have a trio of wide receivers, Devonta Adams being one that's going to request a lot of money. You have linebackers who are paid a ton. Bulaga makes way too much money considering his injuries. I don't know how that he got that kind of money with that kind of injury history. But the thing is that there's guys.
But isn't that on Ted too?
That one is on Ted because Ted should have been like, hey, you want $8 million, we're gonna give you $4 million because this year you were hurt. That is the bargaining chip for a GM is
another one
time and injury, and there's just obvious lack of that. So I don't know how they got around that.
Another dollar wasted, I think, is Nick Perry. Another injury-prone guy who's had one season.
Clay Matthews as well. I think that there's definitely those situations. But now in the same breath, we want all these guys, right? We want all these guys on our team. We want to keep all these guys. And we want, you know, every single position to be stacked to the gills as we should. But we only have so much money to play with. And when you have an elite, potentially greatest of all time quarterback, he's going to demand a large amount of money unless he decides to take a huge pay cut. And that's okay. that's just the bottom line. I mean, we want all these great offensive linemen. We have good offensive linemen, but if we want really good depth, for instance, say we want to keep sitting, keep laying, then we're going to have to forfeit at a different position. It's going to be impossible for us to keep everybody we want at every position and still stay under the salary cap.
And here's where I'm going to go with this, because we talked about wide receiver quite a bit last year.
Yep.
Or last week.
Yep.
I think they overpaid Jordy. I think they overpay Cobb. I think those two guys are expendable.
Do you really think that we overpaid Jordy, though?
Yes, I do. Because I think that Aaron, if he goes and plays with any other quarterback in this league, except for maybe two or three of them, he doesn't have nearly the statistics he has with Aaron. You said it last week that he and Aaron have chemistry.
I agree.
Jordy's not the biggest. He's not the fastest. He's not the best. He's not even close to being the best wide receiver in the league. His stats say that he's in the probably top five, but can he do that with Brett Hundley?
Well, hold on. Let's wait and see. But this is the thing. You pay them on their stats. You can't go into a meeting with Jordy Nelson and his agent and say, well, I just don't think you'll be that good with someone else, Jordy, so I'm not going to pay you.
Why not? They did it to James Jones, and James Jones came crawling back. They did it to Greg Jennings, and he flopped as soon as he left.
I agree.
Guess what Ted did? He brought in another young guy who didn't have a name, and Aaron Rodgers made him really good.
Listen, I'm not arguing with you on the fact that I think Aaron Rodgers makes these receivers better. But Jordy Nelson has the incredible stats to prove it. And I think that he's someone that maybe he's overpaid in a little bit of a sense, but in the same breath, he's also a guy that's getting us 10 touchdowns and 1,000 yards and is clearly a difference maker when he's on the field. Now, would Jordy go somewhere else and be great? Maybe not. But when he's here and he's healthy, he changes the game. When Jordy's not in the game, you have to admit there's a change in play. So I think Jordy is one that I don't.
2 years ago, yes. 2 years ago, yes.
He's still a different player on the field with us. I think that Davante Adams is taking that role. I definitely do. So I think maybe after this year, you have to consider.
Here's the thing.
The fact that he's getting paid. But the bottom line is this. The bottom line is that the number one paid receiver is still Randall Cobb, and that is insane. That's what it comes down to.
Agree that he's probably not going to be a Packer next year if it all works out the correct way.
But if you look at the contracts and you look at who's the highest paid in every position, most of them you can't argue except for the wide receiver, where it's Cobb being paid the most at 12 million and then Jordy at 11. And then you have Devontae at one, but that's where you have to consider. Do you look for a trade this season with Cobb?
It depends on the next 4 weeks.
Right.
Honestly, there's potential for a lot of scenarios, but we're not going to know until probably week 10.
Okay. All right. Let's move on from the injury report, because we could talk about that all day.
Let me make one more point,
though. All right.
You have this amazing talent in Aaron Rodgers. And you talk about how much he should get paid and how great he is and how good he is. And you talk about how everybody wants a really good defensive backfield. Aaron Rodgers has been making up for a terrible defense every year since the Super Bowl. He's taken us to two NFC championships with no defense. And a struggling offensive line, to say the least. Don't you think that if you're going to be willing to pay your quarterback all this money that you're talking about in his next contract, that you would shore up your offensive line and its depth before you pay your quarterback? Because without him, I fear that the Packers can't go .500 the rest of the way. Now, quarterback is great, and it's awesome. He can be the best in the world, the best ever, possibly. But how good can he be if he doesn't have anybody protecting him? And that's the problem. He's been getting crushed all year. And we talked about, yeah, some of it's his fault because he likes to hang onto the ball without throwing picks. But the other side of that coin is he doesn't have the protection he's had in the past. And it's because of injuries, I agree. But if you have Aaron Rodgers, don't you think that you would have some true solid depth behind your best three offensive linemen? And we don't have it. I mean, we can have all the Devon Houses and all the Quentin Rollins and Randalls and whoever in the defensive backfield. They're all similar. None of them are great and none of them are terrible. They're just there. They spent money in areas that they didn't improve, really, in my opinion. Why? What is Ted thinking? What's his process?
You know, you're right. I think offensive line this year, I think when you have your starting five, I think it's dynamic. I think it's a great offensive line. But he went into this season with just no
depth. With five guys.
That's it. Yeah. And I said from the get-go that was going to be sketchy. And you could see something kind of happening. You know, Aaron was the most sacked quarterback. And there are a ton of injuries. But that's the thing is that for Ted – you got to look at him and just be like, duh, this is what happens every year. Every team offensive line has injuries. That's just a natural. Now all the other injuries we have is just a little creepy and a little strange. And there's, you know, obviously some questioning there, but with offensive line, you just go through injuries. That's just part of it. You know, rarely does a five, like I said before, do all five stay healthy for an entire season. So to go into the season and just think that for some reason these five guys were going to get through it all is just absurd. And that for that reason, I am upset with Ted.
All right. But, and I know I'm probably outreaching and bagging on stuff because I'm upset about what happened and it's
no, frustrating. I don't think you're wrong. I don't think anyone out there listening is going to disagree with what you're saying. And to be totally honest, I don't really disagree with what you're saying. I think Ted played with fire. You know, it was okay to play with it, I guess, with running back because you can always just plug a guy in at running back, but you don't F with that with the offensive line. Not when you have Aaron Rodgers. I don't care if we have the scrubbiest of receivers. I would rather have the most bomb diggity offensive line and a bunch of, because like you said, Aaron Rodgers can make receivers. So why not put the majority of our money? Stop paying Cobb $12 freaking million dollars and go and buy two offensive linemen for $6 million apiece. I know that sounds
for $6 million apiece, you can get pretty good ones too.
Right, and that's a legitimate option. You know, I mean, we've got money saved up. Obviously we got to pay Devontae. Obviously we need to get Rodgers re-signed. So there's two big ones. Haha. Clinton Dix is another guy that needs to be considered for re-signing. But
let me ask you this. Now that Rodgers has broken both collarbones, he's having surgery on his throwing shoulder, which we don't even really know the full details on that. If there's damage to a labrum or a rotator cuff there on his throwing arm, there's a legit possibility that he's never the same.
No, God, please, no, no, no.
I mean, that's what we're dealing with. And I know we haven't really gotten into the Aaron Rodgers thing, but I think that's where we're going next.
Yeah, just let's go into it. That's a good transition.
I mean, it is, and I don't want to be I don't want to be too somber on him because I really hope that he comes back and lights it up on fire. But this is his throwing shoulder. It's not his off shoulder like it was the last time. If they went in there, or they're going in there to do surgery on more than just the resetting the collarbone, and they have to work on his labrum or his rotator cuff or any other ligament or whatever else is in your shoulder, it's a long road to recovery, and he may never have the throwing ability that he had. I know that's an extreme case, but we literally don't know. It's possible that that's what's going on here, and it's scary to think that the Aaron Rodgers of old may never be again.
Well, geez, man, you didn't have to go like 100 freaking miles per hour out of the get-go here. Let's work up to it. Geez.
It's how serious it is. And it I don't know.
And I think people need to be able to understand that. Let's just go through the basics and not jump all the way down that road right away. Obviously the injury happened. Let's start first with where we're at now. Okay, let's go into what we have now and then let's figure out what we're going to do in the future. Initially, obviously the injury happens and the social media world and everybody else wants to throw out the names, okay? Dumb. We have the Tony Romos, we have the Colin Kaepernicks, Brett Favre, someone said Eli Manning.
I heard Johnny Football.
Johnny Manziel. I'm sure Don Mikowski got called. Listen, everybody, slow your roll. Let's just, like, stop. Stop with the Madden lifestyle. Stop with thinking that everyone can always just be bought and brought onto a team and that everything is just going to switch and be good to go. That's not how football works. It's just not. If you could just go out and plug and play guys because you like them or they have a good name or they were good back in 2007 or whatever the case may be, that's just not how it goes. If that was the case, every team would just be a complete cluster of random guys. There is a chemistry. There is a bond that needs to be built. So bringing in a guy like Romo, who is even more fragile than anyone I've ever seen in the NFL, behind an offensive line that has nobody, terrible idea. Bringing in a Kaepernick, I know that there's a few people out there who are strong believers in that. Listen, he could potentially be a good fit in the sense of what he could bring on the field. Unfortunately, it is everything outside of that that would be the deterring factor in him not coming here. And I'm not even going to start getting into what he's done or what he hasn't done.
Agree.
Green Bay does not do media circus, and that would be the biggest media circus in the NFL history. Yeah. Wherever he goes, you are bringing 7,000 media trucks with you, and that's just what. And I don't care if it's Green Bay, Dallas, New York, or freaking Madagascar. That's what's going to happen, and you're just not going to do that. Not now, not with the way that this team is and with the situation. It would just be too much. Would Kaepernick fit with this offense, all things considered? Probably, but it's just not going to happen.
Well, right, and the only reason why he would fit is because of his
mobility,
athletic ability, and able to get out of the pocket and make plays with his feet, and our offensive line woes at the moment. Here's the problem. You nailed it right on the head. Green Bay doesn't do that kind of thing. And everybody went, well, if he didn't do what he did and didn't have the media circus, we would bring him in for sure. Yeah, you're probably right. We would, but he would have a job already. So he wouldn't be available. Kaepernick's days in the NFL are over. They're done. I think if he was going to get another opportunity, it was going to happen already. I think those days have come and gone. And it is what it is. So everybody just needs to get that through their head.
It's Hundley's time. Yeah. And that's the bottom line is that, listen, guys, I understand that everybody, this sucks. And this is the worst thing that could possibly happen for us. But to think that we're going to go out and we're going to sign Kaepernick, or we're going to sign Romo, or we're going to sign Favre, or we're going to sign this guy, or this guy, or this guy, and he's going to come in and save our season. Them coming in is actually probably a less advantage for us than Hundley. Hundley's been in the system now 3 years. He's a good quarterback. I don't care what anyone says. He came in cold against a phenomenal defense in Minnesota and almost was able to bring the game back home to us. Give him the time to study. He's got the Saints coming up this week, and then he's got a bye. And I think he will do what we need to do. The one good thing about Hundley for us is that he is a mobile quarterback, and he's going to need it. But we need to accept the fact that this has happened and that it's there, as terrible as it is, and understand that this is Hundley's time. It's the kid. He's ready. He's raring to go. Let's give him his opportunity. And you know what? We might be pleasantly surprised with what he's able to do. Let's not forget that we do have a good receiving core. I know Aaron Rodgers makes them, but Hundley's been around. He might come in and do it. I mean, this could be a Mikulski to Favre type situation. We don't know. I'm not going to say it is. Don't get all crazy on me about it, but I think there could be a, we could be in a lot worse positions with our backup. A thing that I do want to ask you though, and actually Chris Kellett brought this up to me the other day, and some other people have as well, is Callahan, is he really our a legitimate backup considering that he is now the number two?
You know, and I saw some comments that Chris had made, and there's one that I liked. You know, I think that Green Bay has to seriously consider possibly giving up a sixth or seventh round pick to get Taysom Hill back. I like Joe Callahan. I'm confident that he could come in if something were to go down with Hundley in a game. I think Callahan could come in and at least get us by. Let's say we had a 14 or 17 point lead in a game and something happened to Hundley. I think Callahan could come in and finish that game off and win it. I don't think he has the talent or wherewithal to come in and win us a game. He's not Brett Hundley, and he's definitely not Brett or Aaron Rodgers. So to say that, and the reason why I say Taysom Hill might have been a better option is he's shown the mobility, and he's shown the fact that he's willing to run. He had that kind of style of play at BYU, and he did it in the preseason for us. So that might be a better option. I don't know if they'll go out and do that unless something happens to Hundley and forces their hand to make that move. And it might depend on what happens here in the next few weeks. If Hundley comes out and plays well and keeps us in these games and wins a couple, why would they make a move? If Hundley's getting pressured and sacked 10, 15 times a game, and he's getting knocked around and things aren't looking good, then it changes it a little bit. So I think this week there's definitely probably not going to be much movement or talk or even, you know, theorizing in the Packers organization or in their front office. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's something they look at down the road, depending on how things shake out here in the next few weeks.
Do you think that Hundley – that's just say – Rodgers is out for the year, which I think is probably our
more than likely
most reasonable thing. I know people want to speculate and say that there's a chance. Believe me, if I can find any way to make that happen, I would. Can Hundley, for the rest of the season, can he bring us to the playoffs?
Here's the way I see it, and I kind of ran through the remaining schedule.
Yep, I got that right here looking at it.
Uh-huh, and I, you know, I think there's four or five winnable games there. I really, really do.
Give me a quick rundown.
I think they're going to beat the Saints. Okay. And I'll touch on why and how that happens when we go through that game here at the end. Then they go on a bye week, and McCarthy's pretty good after a bye.
Yeah.
And I think we need it. I think if we can get through the Saints game and come out of that at 5-2, holy shit. We have some momentum going into the bye. And I think the problem is Monday Night Football on the big stage, the national stage against Detroit. I think we lose that one at home, unfortunately. I think we can beat the Bears, obviously. I think Baltimore's a winnable game. So there's three out of the next four, and it, you know, all of a sudden you're at 7-3 and you're feeling pretty good. Then you got what, 2, 4, 6 games left, and you have to win two of them. Probably. Yeah. I mean, you think 9-7 gets them in?
Yeah. Well, you could very well could.
That probably gets them a wild card. Just because of the way the NFC East is, and it's just a battle. So I think they beat Baltimore. Then I think they lose to Pittsburgh. I think they beat Tampa Bay. I think they beat the Browns, and then they lose the last three. So I actually have them at 10-6.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, Hundley can do it. Let me quick run through it here. The New Orleans game, obviously, we'll talk about in a minute. The bye week versus Detroit in Green Bay Monday night. I'm going to chalk that as a potential win just because I think that I don't know. I just
– A potential win or a win? We got to go with absolutes here.
I'm trying to buy some time here to think about it. I'm going to go with that being a win. Monday night, I think we get a little bit of magic in Lambeau.
So do you have the Saints as a win too?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think the Saints is a win. I think that is a quick turnaround and just
I might be able to change your mind later in the show, but
I hope you can. So let me finish this with here. No win on the Saints. I think we can beat Detroit. Obviously, we go to Chicago, beat them. Baltimore is a weird team. I think we can beat Baltimore in Green Bay. We go to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, again, a strange team, has lost to not good teams, has also won. The fact that it's in Pittsburgh gives them the slight advantage, so I will let them win that game. Tampa Bay, I think, is a team that we will lose to. We have a weird history with Tampa Bay. Beat the Browns in Cleveland. Then we go to Carolina. Again, another team, a highly touted team, but a team that has shown that they can have complete meltdowns. Yep. I will say that one is a toss-up, but I would lean probably towards a loss. And then Minnesota and Detroit. Both going to be really tough games. I can't give you a for sure on this on what I think is going to happen.
I think you have them at 9-7.
Around 9-7, yeah. But I also think that you could have another meltdown with Pittsburgh. You could have a Carolina meltdown. I mean, they have shown that they're completely crazy this year.
I agree. The thing about those two teams is it seems like they play to the talent of the team they're playing.
Right. And so I think there's the chance there.
Yep. I see it. I hear. I smell what you're stepping in there.
And I think the other thing with Hundley is that, I know this is controversial. We always talk about how Aaron makes the receivers, but if Aaron Jones can get to a good running point, and if the offensive line can get healthy after the bye week, you know he's got three good tight ends. He's got three good receivers. He would have a decent running game and a good offensive line. We don't need him to be miraculous. And this is something I brought up the other day with somebody, is that as much as I just adore and love Aaron Rodgers, we've brought it up on previous episodes how he likes to hold the ball. And I think that it makes him great in some circumstances, and it also makes him vulnerable in a lot of other ones. Hundley's not going to have that. I think he's going to be more apt to get rid of the ball quickly. And I think that we are a successful team when we're running quick routes and we're running quick passes. And if he can just start doing a lot of slants, five and outs, five and ins, hooks, button curls, all sorts of different stuff, that might be more his speed. And those things can break. And that's what we do is we dink, we dink, we dink, we dink, we run. And I think that Hundley has the skills to do it. Now, if we're down with a minute left and we need some miraculous plays in the fourth quarter, I'm not positive. You know, that's where you want Aaron Rodgers and you have a little bit more faith. But I think that Hundley's going to surprise a lot of people. And I'm excited for his opportunity. I don't want it, but I have to be, and it is what it is.
Here's, I'm on the other side of that coin, to be honest with you, Fred.
Okay.
I don't doubt that Hundley can be a good quarterback in this league, and I don't doubt that he will play good enough to win games. The problem is he doesn't have anybody else to count on. The reason why Green Bay is in the position they're in right now at 4-2 is because of Aaron Rodgers, not because of anybody else. It's definitely not because of the defense pulling their weight.
Right.
I mean, Dallas and Cincinnati for sure are two games that were won on Aaron Rodgers' arm alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, to put all that pressure on Brett Hundley and expect him to be able to do the same thing is just kind of silly in my point of view. Now, does McCarthy change his whole approach? He has to. he's going to have to call a game completely different. And I agree with you. A lot of the short route stuff and getting the ball out early is all well and good. But if they start going three and out in less than a minute and the defense has to be on the field an extra four or five times a game because of it, because they're trying these quick slant patterns and everything's incomplete and there's no time coming off the clock, that's not going to be good either. So it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't type deal. I think the biggest thing going forward is whether or not we can get some resemblance of a running game going consistently, not one game out of five, because that's not going to work. And you better believe that defenses are going to be very aggressive. They're going to blitz the hell out of them in passing situations, and they're going to stack the box when they think they're going to run. So it's going to be hard. The offense and the offensive coaches are going to have to be very, very creative with the way they're calling the game. They're going to have to be very, very creative to put Brett Hundley in positions to be successful. I know you seem to think that we have three good tight ends. I'm on the front where I think we have two, and it's not even the starter isn't even one of the two that's reliable, because he seems to drop two or three balls a game that are easy catches and then make one hard catch and everybody forgives him for his drops. That happened again against Minnesota. It's like, come on, dude, we brought you here to be a difference maker consistently, not a difference maker once a week. So that whole thing is frustrating. I just don't think that the tight end position, the starter in Marty Bennett, and I love the guy. He's a freakish talent. He's just, I don't think he's quite there yet.
And you know what? Well, I agree with that. And I wasn't saying it is in the sense of, yeah, we got three great tight ends, we're good to go. I just think that on paper and potential, we have three good tight ends. Now, the thing with Hundley and the thing with any injury and someone kind of coming in is we're very used to, obviously, Rodgers and the way that Rodgers operates and where the ball is distributed. We got a whole new guy. We don't know yet where Hundley's confidence lies, where his security blanket. I mean, he might – new quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, and quarterbacks who are thrusted into a position, their safety net is 90% of the time is the tight end.
Yeah, and who's the best backup wide receiver we have? Geronimo Allison, correct?
Yeah.
I guarantee you he sees the field more in the next few weeks.
Exactly, and that's my point when it comes to three good tight ends is that – Aaron didn't look for those tight ends as much. He went to his security blanket always, which is Jordy Nelson and then Devonta Adams. Hundley might have a completely different approach, and Hundley might look more towards the tight ends as a safety net and maybe a Cobb. Maybe Cobb is going to flourish in the fact that Hundley might look for those shorter routes and Cobb is more specified in those, whereas Jordy and Devonta are kind of your big play guys. And I'm not ruling out the fact that Hundley can't throw the ball past 5 yards. I just think that
he shouldn't in the first 10 minutes of any game.
Absolutely. So I think that he'll just need to kind of work his way up to it. The bottom line is that obviously we're heartbroken. We're devastated by the fact that Aaron's not around. It sucks. It makes Sundays much more difficult. I mean, that we're so excited to see him play. He's such a fun person to watch, Aaron Rodgers. But the truth of the matter is it's done, and it's Hundley's time. And I think that we could have a worse situation. And I think Hundley will surprise. So I'm excited to a degree to see him. But, it's not ideal, and it sucks. And we're all going to be – it's going to be hard to wake up on a Sunday and turn the TV on for a Packer game and not see Aaron Rodgers, number 12, out there.
Yeah, it's gonna be difficult. So
all right, let's quick say hey to the guys over at Ground Round.
Hey fans, it's Ryan Bailey from the Ground Round in Neenah, proud sponsor of the Sweeps. Another reminder on why Ground Round is the place for Wisconsin sports. We have 21 TVs in our sports lounge, giving you a perfect view from any seat in the house. On Packer game days, we have food and drink specials like $8 pitchers of Liney's beer, half price bar bites, free Packer touchdown shots, and the always fun Ground Round Cheesehead Plague Hat. When the Packers opponent is penalized, one lucky person drinks free. Win or lose, you'll go home happy as we raffle away gift certificates and other prizes on our spin to win wheel, including Packer jerseys. This year, you can even go home with tomorrow night's dinner, as we have added game day meat raffles. If your favorite spot to watch the game is on your sofa, Ground Round can still be a part of your game day experience. We deliver our full menu 7 days a week with everything from soup and sandwiches to wings, burgers, and steaks. If Lambeau Field is your favorite location for game day, we have you covered there too. For only $20, you can take the Ground Round tailgate bus to and from each home game. The bus leaves 3 hours before kickoff and returns promptly after the game. Call us at 725-1010 to reserve your seat today. Thanks for listening, and now let's get back to the sweep. Go Pack.
All right, thanks, Bradley. Make sure you guys go and check them out if you're in the Foxvale area. Such a great place. He told you all the goodness. It's better than that, trust me. All right, this week we are going to hit up our schoolboy.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber.
And Playboy.
Yeah.
You see what I did there? I switched it up. Usually it's Playboy, schoolboy. Blaine's going to start off this week. I started last week. Take it away, man.
I'm not going player here. I think that there's just too much schoolboy to go around as far as the players go this week. I don't think that Green Bay played a good game at all in any aspect of the game, offense, special teams, or defense. But I'm putting that on the top dog. I'm putting that on the guy in charge. I'm putting that on the guy that brings in the players. I'm putting that on the guy that assembles this roster. I think the offensive line woes that we find ourselves in right now ultimately boil down to one guy. I know that you can't predict injuries, but you know, we covered it earlier, you know for a fact that the Green Bay offensive line was not going to stay healthy all year. I mean, you have a guy like Brian Bulaga who gets hurt every year. You also have other big-name guys that, you know, they play position, and we pass the ball a lot. There's guys getting in pass sets. They're not just running forward and bulldozing guys over on a consistent basis. So there's the potential for a lot of knees and a lot of ankles and a lot of outstretched legs, so the hamstrings and the quads and stuff like that have that potential to go down. But my schoolboy for the week is Ted Thompson.
Oh, I have sizzle.
Sorry to do it to you, Fred, but –
No, I can't really disagree with it. I'm a little upset with the way he went about it.
It to happen 2 years in a row at two different positions,
yeah,
it's inexcusable. You got to plan for stuff like that. You can't predict it, but you have to plan for it, and he doesn't do it. And to say that, yeah, we want all these guys for all these other positions, you're right, we do. But he didn't make a difference anywhere else. So if you're not going to make a splash play and make a big difference somewhere, you better have your quarterback protected, because he's the one that's going to win you a game, and he failed to do that.
I agree. I'm not even going to argue with you on this one, because I think you're right. All right, my schoolboy is a group of gentlemen, and I'll start off with Mark Lovett, Chris Gizzy, Thaddeus Jackson, Grant Thorne. Let's see, keep going here. We can go into Pepper Burris, Cole Greenspan, Andrew DiPirarolo. I don't even know how to say his last name. These are all of the athletic trainers, strength and conditioning coaches, guys who I feel like are just not doing their job. I know that we have discussed this many times, and I've tried for weeks and weeks and weeks to be like, nah, I'm not going to put the blame on the coaching and on who's ever getting these guys right and healthy. But enough is enough. I can't find any other reason. I've tried to chalk up the whole, well, everybody goes through injuries, and every other team is going through it as well, and this and that. But why? Why for the last 3, 4, 5 years has this team just been decimated with injuries every single year? Aaron Rodgers getting hurt is understandable because he landed on his clavicle. But the reason Aaron Rodgers got hurt was because of the decimation of offensive line. That is a strength and conditioning thing. And it also comes down to your schoolboy as well, Mr. Ted Thompson. But something's got to give. Why are we always hurt? Why are we consistently just ravished with hamstrings, quads, all that kind of thing. I don't know. I don't know what else to do with the situation except to point blame at those guys and wonder what their pregame prep is and their stretching and their ability to keep these guys loose, because frankly, they're not doing it. I mean, we have guys all year going out with hamstrings, cramping issues. I feel like cramping issues shouldn't be an issue in the NFL. I get that you will cramp at times, but in the NFL, an $8 billion, gajillion-dollar, you know, a year situation, and the Green Bay Packers who make billions of dollars, you're telling me that you can't get these guys right for a game? I just don't get it. I don't understand how this is not, you have a job. Keep these guys. I understand injuries will occur. That's a natural part of football. But just the constant hamstrings, the cramping, I mean, that just seems like a lack of coaching. Do you agree?
I'm somewhat in somewhat agreement with you here.
And I don't want to be that guy that goes, well, it's got to be them. But I don't know where else to look.
Well, and I think you're on the same page as I am with this, is if it was just this season, I don't think we would be even talking about it. But it seems to be every year for years now?
And that's the thing, is I've turned a blind eye to it for the last 4 years. In being like, well, you know, it's just, it's part of football, or, oh, well, you know, it's just the bad luck situation, or, oh, you know, it's just, but now it's like, okay, after, you know, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing and expecting this different result, Einstein, come on. I mean,
right.
At what point do you got to say, wait a second, the first year was one thing, the second year will give you a break, the third year is a pass, but 4 and 5, what the F, man?
Yeah,
and that's my concern, and I don't want to blame it on those guys, but I don't know where else to look. At some point, you got to start thinking, what's the common factor here, and why is it consistently happening to us? Every team goes through injuries. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But to have as many as we do on a consistent level, there's something there.
Right, I agree. I can't argue with you. It sucks. It's the world we live in, the season we're having, and.
Well, it's part of the NFL. I mean, I asked Ethan yesterday, I said, hey, dude, tell me the 5 most popular players in the NFL. He goes, Aaron Rodgers, Odell Beckham Jr., J.J. Watt, Tom Brady, and we couldn't quite get to the 5th one. But 3 of those guys are injured.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham is a face of the NFL. I know that a lot of people don't like him. I'm not a big fan of his antics. But his skill play is remarkable.
Oh, he's an amazing talent. He's a once in a generation talent. There's no doubt about that.
J.J. Watt, one of my all-time favorites, probably outside of injuries, could go down as one of the greatest players in NFL history, out with an injury. Aaron Rodgers, potentially the greatest of all time as a quarterback, out with injury. I mean, at what point do you guys – like, I get the game is changing and is intense, and that's a whole other ball game, but – for us as Packer fans, we go into every year and it's like, what position is going to get ruined this year?
Yeah.
You know,
here's one thing I will touch on as far as the injury thing goes with our starting quarterback being out. Let's not forget the situation the Vikings were in coming into this week.
Exactly.
They have their backup quarterback playing. They have their starting running back gone for the year. And who, I don't know that Bradford is ever going to be what he's ever been. So they're probably going to have to roll with Case Keenum more often than not. They're going to have to roll with Latavius Murray at running back instead of their rookie sensation in Dalvin Cook. They're going through some of the same stuff too. Now, the biggest difference last week is Kaysom Hill has been the starter now for a few weeks. He's been in that role. He's been able to prepare like the starter with the starting group. And let's just hope and let's wait and see what Hundley can do with a proper week of preparation with the starting group. I hope and I think that he has the ability, at least the ability Case Keenum has. And the only other issue I have with comparing Green Bay's situation to the Vikings situation is that the Vikings have a defense that they can rely on.
Yep.
And I think that's the biggest difference between the two teams. But always remember, there's other teams going through it too, and they're still being successful. So it's possible.
This will be, and this is something that a good friend of mine at work brought up, is this will be the ultimate test for Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy.
Well, yeah, we're going to find out. We're going to find out how bad they are.
I was going to go with how good they are, but I guess if you want to say that. And it's true. I think that the Green Bay Packers, Ted Thompson, all the way down to Jimmy, the guy who drives the balls, has ridden the coattails of Aaron Rodgers. And we're all going to see, I think, unfortunately, how much he's masked. And you brought it up, and I think a lot of the people have kind of talked about it, just the lack of talent in a total degree of this game or of this team. And without Aaron Rodgers, this team isn't maybe as good as we think it is. But who knows? We could be pleasantly surprised. I'm going to try and be positive about it. And speaking of positive, let's get a Playboy in there just to kind of brighten the mood a little bit.
I love this guy. I know you don't like how much he's getting paid, but I don't care. I think that he's earned, at least done something in his career to earn what he's getting paid. He almost proved me to be 100% correct on my prediction that he would score a touchdown. Damn, he was so close. What was he? 16 or 17 yards away.
Yeah.
But I'm going Clay. He recovered the fumble and returned it down to, I think, the 17 or 18 yard line, whatever it was. And that was what set up our only touchdown of the afternoon. So, I mean, partly because he almost made me right. Partly because of the fact that he set up the only touchdown we had all day. He is my playboy for the week. And I think he's quietly having one of his better years. The stat book might not necessarily show it, but he's making plays every week that make a difference. And he might be the brightest spot on that defense outside of Blake Martinez, who's also injured and we forgot to mention earlier.
Yeah, Blake Martinez is a beast. I think that it's the first year in a long time that I've really enjoyed watching Clay play. I think he's back to playing at a high standard. I think he's playing kind of at his pay level for the first time in a couple of years. Yeah, when he picked up that fumble, all I said was, holy shit. Like, almost, he called it. I texted you immediately. So that would have been amazing. That would have been a huge thing. I can't disagree with that. I think he was the spotlight for that defense and pretty much the game. So, yeah, he did great. I'm going to go with someone who I think has been making moves all season. And is really starting to kind of come together. And that's Kenny Clark. I am falling in love with Kenny Clark every single game. I love seeing him play. He's kind of, I know that Daniels requires a second guy usually, but even when Daniels isn't in, Kenny just looks like a beast. And to be 20 years old and to look at that good after 1 year, is awesome. And I think he's someone that we can look at for the next 10, 15 years on this team.
He's going to be expensive.
We're going to have to pay him a good amount when he gets his 4-year deal. And he's only going to be 24. I mean, he's going to be the same age at his next deal as most guys coming out of college. So that's right. Incredible.
Yeah.
But just, I love the way he's playing. 6 tackles, 1.5 for a loss. He just seems to own the offensive line. So, I am very excited about him. I think him and Daniels could really be just a wrecking crew. A whole lot for Playboys, but he's a bright spot.
I give a lot of the credit of Blake Martinez's high level of play to those two guys in the middle.
Yes.
They're doing their job and some, and it's awesome to see, and you can see it at the next level in Blake Martinez. Now, Blake Martinez seems to be playing faster, seems to not question what he's doing as much as he did the last couple of years, and that's an attribute to that as well. But I think the fact that offensive linemen aren't getting to the second level like they did in years past, and a lot of that goes, a lot of that credit goes to Kenny Clark. So I think you hit the nail on the head. I think we got probably the two brightest spots of the whole game. Again, not a lot to pick from for Playboy, but if we have to, those are probably the two guys. I want to spit out an honorable mention for Schoolboy. We've kind of given him a pass a couple of weeks, and it's actually two guys, and it's the guys that kicked the ball, Mason Crosby and the punter. What's his
name? Justin Vogel.
Vogel. I mean, the last couple of games between the two of them have been pretty bad.
Yeah. I agree. And
those are the types of things that need to be shored up to help out Brett Hundley. And a lot of people dismiss that type of stuff because it doesn't seem like a big part of the game. But we can't forget that special teams is a third of what happens. And the kicking game means a lot.
Now more than ever.
Right.
At this point with Hundley, it's everyone's got to step up and stop relying on the fact that we have Aaron Rodgers. And I think everyone on that team kind of felt that way, like, oh, it's okay, Daddy will come here and take care of it, you know, or it's all right, we let up a touchdown, no big deal, Aaron is going to come back and score for us, or you know what I mean? So, like, yep. Everyone's got to make moves. We failed to mention, you know, the Crosby misses on our last show, but Vogel coming in right after Aaron goes down and shanking a punt was like, not now, dude.
Yeah,
not now. You've done really well, and then you, like, that's the worst freaking time for you to come in and do that. So yeah, it goes from offense to defense to special teams. Everyone needs to play better football if they expect to go anywhere and to win, and special teams especially. I will. This is tough for me. Good job, Demarius Randall, for scoring another interception. You are really great.
Oh, did I have to pull that tooth right out of your mouth in order for that to get spit out?
I'm bleeding from the mouth as I said that. yeah, you stupid son of a bitch. I don't know how you – like, you should be off the team and you just get these two blessings given to you. Yeah, that just blows my mind. But I'll give him props for being in the right – everyone keeps saying he's in the right place at the right time. No, he was actually not in the right place. He's not – like, he was in the wrong place that happened to be the right place. Like, he still is not in where he should be, and he never is. He's always out of position. It's ridiculous. But that's a whole nother ball game.
Well, he better figure it out because we're going to need him.
Yeah, we're going to need, like I said, we're going to need everybody. All right, speaking of everybody, let's quick say hey to Jim Cooper and the Go Pack Go group on Facebook.
When's the last time you shouted at the top of your lungs, Go Pack Go? Was it today? Was it yesterday? I hope it wasn't all the way back at the NFC Championship. Well, either way, we have a way to scream it every day, and no one will think you're crazy. Well, we welcome crazy. My name is Jim Cooper, and I am the founder of the largest Green Bay Packers fan group on Facebook. With over 30,000 members, this is the place to find it all. From the latest news, to the best fan shares, to knockout giveaways. Go Pack Go, I Bleed Green and Gold, is the group for the biggest of Packer fans. Go to Facebook, find the group, get involved, be active, enter for all the giveaways, and always say it loud, say it proud, Go Pack Go.
All right, thanks, Jim. I guess we have to move on. Apparently, this is real life, and we can't just go to sleep and wake up and it was all a dream. It was all a dream. This week, the Saints, Brett Hundley is quarterback. What do you see happening? I know you said that you think we're going to win. How in the world are we going to beat a Saints team that just came off manhandling a Detroit Lions team?
It sets up for a trap game for the Saints. And that's it seems to be a common theme throughout the NFL this year. You know, I don't know if you do any pick'em leagues. I'm in one at work.
Yep.
And it's getting harder and harder every week because teams that shouldn't win, win, and teams that should win, lose. So it just sets up as one of those games for me. It's at home. I have some splits here for Drew Brees and his statistics when he's at home and when he's away. And it's pretty amazing, to be honest. He's played 119 games at home and 120 on the road. He's won 72 at home, and he's won 60 on the road. Now, that doesn't sound like a big difference in the win-to-loss column, but when you start looking at his completion percentage and his touchdowns and his interception rates at home, his completion percentage at home is 68.5. On the road, it's 64.8. So you have about almost a 5% difference in completion percentage. Touchdowns with one less game at home has 274 touchdowns at home and 200 on the road. Now that's quite the disparity since he's played one more game on the road than he has at home and has 72 less touchdowns. That could be huge. The interception ratio at home, he has 108. On the road, he has 116. So a little bit of a difference there. And his quarterback rating at home is 102.2 and on the road is 89.7. So, you know, his level of play drops down a little bit on the road. I think it also, I don't have the split, but if I had to guess, I would say that they're better on turf than they are on grass. This game is on grass. It's not going to be good for them. They're kind of a high flying up tempo offense that likes to get the ball out quickly and let the receivers make plays with the ball in their hands. I think that slows them down a little bit. I think that actually bodes well for our defense as well, because it seems like we have more trouble on deep balls. I think a big thing is going to be, as it is in almost any game, is if you can get to Drew Brees early and often and put a hat on him a couple of times early, he starts to unravel a little bit. And the fact that he is willing to throw the ball around is good for Green Bay. And I know that sounds absolutely ass backwards due to the fact that our defensive backfield is kind of in shambles and has been for a few years. But you look at the turnovers that we've gotten, and a tip ball here, a tip ball there, and our guys end up being in that spot, whether it's the right spot or the wrong spot, but they're there at the right time. And I think we're going to get probably at least one, maybe two or three turnovers in that fashion. And I think that'll be the difference in the game. I think the defense is going to surprise some people against an offense that I think has the ability to put up a lot of points. But due to the fact that they're on the road and on grass, I think it's going to be a struggle for them.
You brought up a lot of really good points. I've said for the last 5-10 years with Drew Brees, they are impossible to beat at the Voodoo Dome, but they're completely beatable outside of it. And that's the number one thing. Now, if this game was in New Orleans, I would chalk it up as no way it stands or buts.
It would probably be a massacre just like Detroit was last week.
Yes, but the fact that it's at Lambeau, I think, gives us a fighting chance. I think that there will be I hope that everyone in Green Bay can rally behind Hundley here and get some motivation. Here's my other thing with the Saints. Obviously, they're a part of the NFL that has been so weird all year. You brought up the pick'em thing. It's been crazy. I actually almost won this week, and I chalked up that there's no way I won, but I must have picked them in my sleep. Here's the thing with the Saints. The Saints, since starting the season, have played the Vikings, the Patriots, the Panthers, the Dolphins in London, and the Lions. That's a tough schedule. They've been successful against pretty much all of them, but that's a tough schedule, and they've been challenged every week. And I think that at some point, like you said, it could be a trap game, and they could come into this being like, well, you know, we've really battled for the last couple of weeks. We came off London. We won against the Lions. We're good to go. They don't have Rodgers. This will be an easy win. And I think we'll be able to come with some funk. The injuries are what concern me. I think if we have a fully healthy team with Hundley, I think we can battle them, but I don't know. I mean, if we don't have Bakhtiari, Bulaga, or Lane Taylor, I don't think we can beat even the Browns just because there's going to be no protection. And that is a monster concern. So I want to feel like we're going to win. I want to be surprised. I want Hundley to do everything that we're afraid that he can't do. But I just don't feel it. I don't see it right away.
Here's what I'm going to ask you. You say they play a tough schedule.
Yeah.
How good are the Vikings? Are they really good, or is it just their defense and they're just a liability because their offense is questionable? They're playing with Case Keenum as their quarterback.
Well, they lost to the Vikings the first week, and that was the week that they had Dalvin Cook and they had Stephon Diggs. I think that, and believe me more than anyone, this hurts so hard. It just sucks to say. But I think that Minnesota has a fantastic defense, and I think offensively they have a ton of great weapons. They're just a quarterback away from being a really dominant team, and their offensive line has some issues as well. But
fair enough. So
I think so, at the time New Orleans played them, I think Minnesota was a very good team.
Okay, so I'm just looking at the games that they've played and the games that they've won and the games that they've lost. So they lost to the Vikings and they lost to the Patriots.
Yeah.
They beat the Panthers, they beat the Dolphins, and they beat the Lions. Which one of those teams stands out to you as being the best team in that grouping? And mind you, the Patriots don't have a defense. They've struggled since pretty much that game. They damn near lost to the Jets last week. Probably should have, because some officials...
Yeah, that's a whole...
I mean, let's be serious. The Panthers, another team, hard to figure out. They've won some really good games.
Yeah.
But they've also sucked. And the Panthers... And where I'm going with this is, yeah, it's the NFL. Any given Sunday, there's not a team in the league anymore, because you just watch Kansas City lose to the Steelers. There's not a team in the NFL this year that you can flat out say is the number one favorite to go to the Super Bowl and win it. Usually at least you can pick two or three teams that should compete for it, but you can't do it this year, especially now with Rodgers out.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I think before this week, you're looking at Atlanta and Green Bay, and you can't even put Atlanta in that anymore. No.
Atlanta lost to the Dolphins, ladies and gentlemen, after being up 17-3, I believe. It is the ultimate truth, and you're exactly right. I mean, the Bears beat the Ravens in overtime. Dolphins beat the Falcons. Jets almost beat the Patriots. I mean, it is –
Pittsburgh beat an undefeated Kansas City
team. Kansas City and Pittsburgh have been so up and down. The Giants beat a Broncos defense that everyone thought was still, you know, so legit. The Raiders coming into the season look like the hottest team. They're not that good. It's very strange. So your point is the reason that I will still pick the Packers to win. I'm concerned and I'm anxious. And I don't know if it's me doubting or if it's just me still being so distraught by the situation.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay. Do your concerns change if Aaron Rodgers is playing? I don't think so. I think that our biggest concerns are still the same whether Rodgers is playing or not.
Yeah, I'll give you that for sure.
And if they don't fix those things, take the whole quarterback thing out. If they don't fix the other things, they would lose whether Rodgers or Hundley is playing. So here, that's my point, I guess, to Packers Nation, is take the quarterback thing and the fact that the best quarterback in the league and possibly all time isn't playing anymore. Take that out of the equation. If they don't fix the offensive line, if they don't fix the fact that they've had a running game for one game out of six so far, if they don't fix the defensive backfield, and if they don't fix their special teams play, the chances of them winning are very small anyways. Now you throw on top of that the fact that you have a backup quarterback, there's like zero to no pressure on any of these guys because nobody's really expecting a whole lot.
Yeah. And that's usually when teams shine.
Exactly. That's kind of where I'm going with it. And I know it's kind of a rah-rah, let's back the underdog thing. But that's the NFL. That's the way it's played. That's why these guys get paid. Even the backups get paid a pretty good sum of money to be ready to play on Sundays.
Well, a lot more than I do.
Right. And Brett Hundley, I mean, people have been talking about him being traded because he's got the talent. He's got the talent. Well, let's not give up on that talent now. I mean, everybody wanted to trade him, and me included. Well, let's see what he's got. Let's see if he can prove that he was worth that trade talk. And I think he's going to prove a lot of people wrong, and I think he's obviously not Aaron Rodgers. And he said that himself. Aaron is Aaron, and I'm Brett. Well, I think he has enough tools in his pocket to play well enough to win. It's the other factors, the other things that we're worried about, that we would be worried about whether he was playing or not. So I think that's what people need to start focusing on. Forget about the quarterback right now. I know it's hard. I know it's going to be something that you and I probably talk about all year. But we need to kind of maybe relax and not to be too Aaron Rodgers-like, but we do need to relax a little bit. There's so much other things going wrong with this team that need to be fixed before we focus on Brett Hundley. And I know a lot of people are going to say, if the Packers lose this week, oh, if Rodgers played, it would be totally different. Would it? We've lost two games this year, and I wouldn't blame Aaron Rodgers for either one of the losses. There's way too many other things that need to be fixed before we can really, really get too hard on the quarterback play here.
You got me a little pumped up there.
Well, you know, and I'm trying to be positive about the whole thing, but I think that everything I'm talking about is so true that we forget about it because Aaron Rodgers is such a big deal. And I agree that he is a big deal. But just like I said, the concerns that we have going into this week would be the exact same whether or not it was Rodgers or Hundley playing.
Yeah, it's true. And you're right. I mean, we do need to just get behind Hundley. And like you said, everyone's talked for years about, oh, we should be able to trade him for a good pick because he's so good. Well, here we go. You know, let's get that same thought process.
We can't be hypocritical and now all of a sudden say, well, he's going to suck. I mean, if you thought he was going to be good and we should trade him because we could get a good draft pick for him, well, then you have to be confident that he's going to have the ability to play to a level good enough to win. Maybe not Aaron Rodgers level, probably not Aaron Rodgers level. But if it doesn't matter how well or how bad he plays. If they don't fix everything else, the chances of them winning are slim to none anyways.
I hear you, man.
I mean, as good as Aaron Rodgers is and as good as he can mask the terrible play of the defense and the terrible play of the offensive line and the drop balls by our tight ends and this and that, those things, fix them. Fix those things. Fix the fundamental, you know, regular plays that should be happening anyways, and you can play with an average quarterback and win.
Yeah. I feel revived a little bit after what you said.
Good. And I hope that some of our other listeners kind of jump on this whole bandwagon. And even if they go and lose to the Saints, don't give up. I mean, no. There's a lot of season left to play, and we're in a decent position right now. We're tied atop the NFC North. We've been through this before and made the playoffs. It can be done. And I think that every play that Hundley is on the field, he's either going to make a play or he's going to learn from it, and he can only get better after that.
Well, and here's the thing with Hundley too is if you want to try and find a positive in any situation is if Hundley goes out and say he just balls and he's awesome, that's huge trade bait. You get a second round pick for him. If Hundley goes out and fails miserably, we get a top 10 pick potentially. So
right. Well, and here's another thing is if Hundley goes out and plays amazing, he's got one more year on his contract.
Yeah.
I think you got to keep him because you don't know what you're going to get out of Rodgers next year with a torn up shoulder.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good point. All right, after all the hoorah, rah-rah, you got me a little jacked up. What do you have for a prediction?
I'm going to go 24-20, Green Bay.
24 points, huh? I like it.
I'm telling you, I'm predicting that the defense, they're probably not going to play that great, but they're going to turn Drew Brees over a few times. And if we can put Hundley in a short field once or twice, and he can score a couple touchdowns that way, and then he has one other drive, that's what's going to be the difference. The defense has to make a few plays. They don't have to play phenomenal. They don't have to be world beaters. They just have to make a couple of plays to set Hundley up and put him in a position to score. And if they can do that early to create some confidence and get the ball rolling a little bit, it's going to be huge. And that's where I'm going with it. I have a lot of confidence in this Green Bay team that Mike McCarthy and the coaching staff I don't know what it is. He seems to coach better under pressure.
I hope you're right. I'm going to go 2017. I think it'll be a little bit of a nail biter, but I think we'll win. I think that we'll do just enough to get to this win, then get through our bye week, get healthy, and keep everyone at. I think if we can pull off this win, I think that'll give everybody a little bit of calm feeling going ahead, and then we go into the bye week. We really focus up on everything, and then we go into the last part of the season, and we see what we got. You guys can make your predictions. We'd love to have them over at Pride and Glory. Go to Facebook, type in Pride and Glory, and then check out our page. Usually we'll do Saturdays or Sundays. We'll throw up that game day prediction. I think this week will probably be a Sunday morning one. So make sure you guys check that out. Give out your prediction. You guys can win a free shirt if you guys correct the exact score or guess, I'm sorry, the exact score, and you are the first one to do it, you win a shirt from Pride and Glory. It has to be Packers win. If it's anything else, just take a hike. You got any final thoughts before we call this one quits?
I'm actually going to be at the game on Sunday. And you and I still have to discuss the innards of it. I may go live before the game at Lambeau. So if you guys are interested in checking out a live feed of what's going on at Lambeau pre-kickoff or as I'm going into the stadium, check us out at The Sweep on Facebook. If you don't know how to get there, go up to that little search button on the top, put in The Sweep, we'll show up. And you can find us that way. I plan on trying to do that if it works out. If not, I don't know if you have plans on being live at all prior to the game.
Here's the deal with that. You can guarantee that we're probably going to be live on Sunday. I forgot to mention, and we'll mention it quick right now, Blaine's going to the game. I am not going to the game, but I will most likely 99% be at Lambeau on Sunday. Reason why is because the crew at Pack to the Future, all the guys that we started that with and run the Pack to the Future podcast, which you guys can check out at packtothefuture.com. That is our home base. They are coming for the game. They have planned this for over a year. So they will all be coming in, flying in from different parts of the United States for the game. I feel so bad for them that they are coming in and it's the first game without Aaron Rodgers. That kind of sucks. But my plan is to be there and to kind of tailgate with them. Blaine obviously is going to be there, so he will join us. And then I'll probably find a place to watch the game. So we'll definitely go live. We'll make sure and get everyone in there and have an awesome live feed on Sunday. So we will make sure and remind you guys leading up to the game. But you guys got to check that out on The Sweep Sunday before the game, because we will have the Pack to the Future guys, me, Blaine, and a bunch of the good guys down at Lambeau.
Sounds like it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be amazing. And we're going to get jacked up, and we're all going to get excited. We're going to be we're there to support the team no matter what. And I can't wait. Like Blaine said, check us out at Facebook at The Sweep, or you can check us out again on Twitter at The Sweep _PTTF. We will be coming back next week with the Saints recap, talking about how Hundley did. And then we have a bye week. We will make sure and bring you guys a show on the bye week. We are going to be changing potentially our show. We do everything audio now. We are looking to move the show to video so you guys can see our ugly mugs while we are doing the show, which I think will bring on a whole new thing. So stay tuned for that. And stay tuned for all fun stuff on the Sweep, again, on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me at FThurstonXXII on Twitter and Blaine at Blaine Hornus, Blaine E. Hornus. And make sure and talk with us. Give us some banter. Let us know what you guys think about the Hundley situation and what your guys' expectations are for the year. We always love to hear that stuff. With that being said, I think that we're in for an interesting second half of the season.
Yeah, it should be interesting to say the least. Always remember, it's very easy to be a Packer fan and a supporting fan of the Packers when they're winning and everything is awesome and you have the best quarterback in the league. But this is the time where we're going to find out who's a real true Packer fan and who can get behind a team that might struggle a little bit and who can keep it positive. If you're having trouble keeping it positive, I would recommend going over to Jim Cooper's Facebook site and checking out some of that stuff because everything on that is positive and it can just kind of cheer you up a little bit. And if you're down in the dumps, make your day a little bit better. Also, he gives away a lot of awesome stuff. When we start going live, I actually have some stuff that I've won off of that page that I can show you guys as living proof. But just like I said, remember that it's really easy to be a Packer fan and love them when we're sitting in a pile of success. And if things are going to get rough here in the next, 10 weeks, we're going to find out who's true and who believes and who supports their team through thick and thin. So,
and that's the truth. I mean, honestly, we've been blessed. We've talked about it. Me and Blaine have talked about it a million times. We have been blessed, overly blessed for 25 years with two amazing quarterbacks. And I think that this is a little bit of a wake-up call for us as fans and knowing that what we have is great. And maybe we should stop bitching all the time about certain things and realize that we get to watch the GOAT every Sunday. And now that's a way. So maybe put your priorities back in check and figure out what it means to be a true Packer fan. Bart Starr, I will read you a quote from the Bart Starr.
Where I got it from.
Anyone can support a team that is winning. It takes no courage. No courage. But to stand behind a team, to defend a team when it is down and really needs you, then that takes a lot of courage. And that's the truth, guys. We are Packer fans. I'm a Packer fan no matter what. Obviously it seems easy because the 25 years that I've been alive for 30 years, 31 years, I think, for 25 of them, we've been pretty damn lucky. We're going to go through some crap, maybe now, maybe in the future. We love the Packers no matter what. We don't love just Aaron Rodgers. We love the Packers. So let's stay together. Let's rally around our team and, stay with what we got. That being said, we will see you guys next week. Hopefully you talk some wind and talk about how Hundley is the next Aaron Rodgers. Until then, stay true and go Pack, go, baby.
As always, go Pack.
You're one of us, one of us, one of us, one of us.